rest of the story. Maybe the road is rougher for a preacher's son. Always back in Ohio, his immensely popular preacher father had had such high hopes for his son. The lad got his degree in theology at Boston University, ordained in the Methodist Episcopal Church, married a lovely Syracuse co-ed. With brash unconcern for his own immaturity, the young pastor prepared to bring all New York City to repentance. He did not. The congregation, which numbered only 200 when he arrived, instead of increasing to match his high hopes, dwindled further. Every Sunday he looked out upon rows and rows of empty seats, cavernous balconies yawning vacant. From Monday to Saturday he prayed for enough weddings or christenings or funerals or anything to pay the bills. Month after discouraging month, the young pastor drained his resources, his energies, and finally his emotions. It was his wife Ruth who sensed the depth of his depression. The discouraged preacher had indulged himself in endless hours of self-pity, interrupted only with tormented tirades directed at the only person handy, and that person was his wife. Until one day she decided it was time. Now the preacher needed some preaching too. Ruth had prayed long hours over the choice she was about to make. There was a beautiful garden in the nearby park. She led him there, she sat him down, and this gentlest of gentlewomen really let him have it. What kind of a man was he, she demanded, to urge upon others the victorious life, yet allow himself to be so easily defeated? She'd heard him preach with eloquence the examples of Job's patience and Noah's obedience and Paul's faith, and yet was afraid to trust his own. No wonder his flock had fled from such a timid shepherd. Who did he think he was that he could build churches, that he could fill pews? All things are possible, but only for those who trust God, really trust him. And she kept talking. Right through, over and beyond his every effort to object, she kept talking for most of an hour that afternoon. He looked back on that occasion, remembering, quote, "My gentle lady was a tough top sergeant that day. She was his pastor. And when she'd had her say, she put words in his mouth to pray, and he prayed those words, and then and there, all heaven broke loose." I focused on this incident because most of us have visited the Valley of the Shadow of Despair, and it's reassuring to know that even the most celebrated of the world's optimists has been there and back. It may be no mortal has done more than he to lift our spirits, to motivate the men and women of three continents through four wars, to see over the top of adversity, to think positively, to work enthusiastically, to live triumphantly. Generations of Americans have been made stronger because a despairing pastor was once so unstrung that he wanted his life to end 44 years ago. And the woman who was beside him that day to help him to his knees and back to his feet was beside him to the end this last week, multiplying the good fruits of his monumental ministry. Perhaps the most magnificent motivator of despairing men could never have become that without having first been one of them. By now you recognize him, for there ever will be only one, Norman Vincent Peale. Only now you know the rest of the story.